This is a HeadGum Original.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
My guitar is broken, and so is my heart. Because everything I wanted is on the other side of heart. Did you think that it was gonna be easy? Did you think you were the only one? Looking back, like it's all behind you. You can't see what you've become. Every dream I can see right in front of me. Think you're close, but you got so far. Why is everything you wanted just on the other side of heart?
Whoa.
Huge.
We wrote huge. That.
We're not really. Fucking... not really.
Okay.
I think you, I feel like you stole the other side of hard thing from Greg Popovich or something. And
yeah, Monty Williams.
Monty
right.
Williams. Coach. Okay. Yeah. And then, yeah, you know, somebody else wrote and performed, I mean, the rest.
Rest. So. But based, I feel like I'm more of a producer than like a producer type mm-hmm. where I'm like, I'm matching like, who is the guy that sort of
you're
like
definitely
got in
an
trouble.
Ideas man for sure yeah. But I wouldn't say it was like necessarily an original idea because you took a quote. I don't want to turn this into like a negative thing. I think it's really cool.
That ship has sailed. Now I want to dig deep into what yeah. you think I am as a man.
A fraud, a phony, a plagiarist.
It is. You only know about the bad music producers. There's like that guy that killed his wife and the guy that molested the boy bands. And it's like, I don't know a lot about like really nice, good, normal musician producers.
Right.
You just hear about the evil ones, I guess, which I guess is like most things, I suppose.
Yeah, which is why people will know your name, because you plagiarize coach speeches and outsource the work and then try to capitalize on it as your own. But maybe that's just in line with all music producers, too.
Right. Like, is that what like Dr. Luke and those Swedish people are doing? They're just coming up with phrases. Maybe they've heard it before, but you can't copyright like a motto or a
I believe Dr. Luke
idiom.
Is a bad guy. Isn't Dr.
Another
Luke
one.
Is a bad
That's
guy.
Why we know his name. Yeah. Is he?
I believe he is, but I can't actually be sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to be good music producers and give this guy a shout out. His name is Dustin. Wow. Look at this. Jake and Amir own the entire copyright for the song. I'm only a vessel. They wrote it. I took some liberties with the chorus though. This is in writing. Mm.
The best part, yeah. Took some liberties with the actual best part of the song for sure.
Is this what Southern country music sounds like? What was that?
It's really mixed because tone. I feel like on the other side of hard is like way too much of a country, like that's a turn of phrase that is would definitely belong in a country song. And we even kind of like made it into a country song when we improvised the song that we sang.
Yeah.
But like the acoustic pop punk element of the song was there basically right up until he sang the other side of hard, which you really can't say without making it seem a little Southern.
Right. It was almost Southern country. By accident or something. Country by accident.
but that like looking back on what you are, whatever or whatever, that part was punky, and I liked that a lot.
That's
and
cool.
I think that you and I should be writing earnest pop punk acoustic ballads. We could theoretically work with this guy. I'll write the lyrics. Mm-hmm. I will write the lyrics.
What do I do?
I don't just be around. Just be around, because I like, we are good working together, but you don't have to tell you what, if you'll be the producer, you facilitate getting my lyrics to this guy.
So I'll like email him,
say, hey, if Jake writes a pop punk song,
full song,
I'll write all of the lyrics.
Music part, or is it just,
I will kind of, I'll give him a riff. And I'll give him some chords for sure.
But then he'll sort of have to take off. Yeah, he'll have to do the rest.
I don't know
how
to produce it. I'll write the pop punk song. I would like if he took some liberties with the actual, music though, because that part, I'll get it done, but it's not going to be as good as he could do. So I will write the verse. I'll write the pre-chorus. I'll write the chorus. I'll write the second verse. The pre-chorus is kind of the thing that leads into the chorus.
But not the verse?
The verse changes every single time. The pre-chorus can actually stay the same before you hit them with the chorus.
Right.
And the Jay-Z song was on. Yeah. And the Jay-Z song was on. So I put my hand. So, but it's like the Jay-Z song was on. Like that part is kind of the pre-chorus.
I see. So. It's sort of part of the chorus, but it really not is, necessarily. But,
in the musical nomenclature of which I'm kind of an expert and you're kind of a dunce, novice, amateur, the pre-chorus is, it's an official term used for, leading into the chorus. But I should.
Okay.
I'm actually done having to explain myself to you.
What song are you gonna do? You know what your song's gonna be about, or is that what you need my help with?
It'll be about a girl. Every single good pop punk song is about a girl, except for the case of Avril Lavigne, which it was about a boy. Why do you have to go and make things so complicated?
Yeah, yeah. I thought you were gonna say Skater Boy, but yeah,
Skater Boy is also good. That one's about a boy too, for sure.
Okay, but you don't know what it's gonna be about. You're just gonna pick up a guitar and sort of improvise / get there on your own.
I'm going to, when I'm done with this recording, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to write some real fucking heartfelt lyrics that are going to be about.
Start with the lyrics.
Right. Wanting a girl you can't have. That classic pop punk.
Yeah.
Dashboard Confessional, Tom DeLonge, Boxcar Racer type shit that I'm trying to do.
She's like a junior and you're a freshman and there's like no way it'll happen. Because it's there you go.
Perfect. Yeah. Or, we could even be two sophomores, but she's dating a senior.
Boyfriend
is actually going away to college.
And I'm talking about
he's going to forget about you, but I'm right here. We still have.
Oh, that's good.
What about, we're juniors. He's a senior, graduated.
She's a sophomore, but is taking like junior classes because she's hoping to skip a grade.
So she can get to college faster. She's on like the west side of the school in like the senior hall, but it should be in the junior, but it's close to my home room, which is what I'm trying to say. And I actually get to leave campus for lunch as a senior. So I'm telling her,
I thought her boyfriend
Here's what the song is. Her boyfriend, senior, it's summertime. He's going away to college, but her and I, we still have senior year. And I'm trying to say that we can run this school together, the power couple. I'm like, we're still here. We still matter. Oh, that's pretty good. We're still here. We still matter. Don't let your heart break. I don't want to see it shatter. Something along these lines is maybe it could be verse, but it could also be pre-chorus.
Yeah. So it's it's like about senior year and how this guy is now technically a freshman, which is like a lame thing to be, but like, in college. So
I love that. All right, cool.
Two states away and we're still here to play or something like that.
Something like that. There you go.
What about Punky Brewster for the name of our like music collective?
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Sometimes because sometimes they have these quasi-legal names where I'm like, how is that band called like Dale Earnhardt Jr. Jr.? And it like just seems to work out in the end.
But that's, we should be called Punky Juicer because...
Oh, interesting.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. Jr. is kind of a, you know, it's an extension. Punky Brewster is just a person and it's kind of a play on the genre of our thing.
Right.
But Punky Juicer is two Jewish punk rocker guys.
And that's definitely legal.
Yeah, that seems fine. It's a little anti-Semitic, but that's okay. That's in play for us.
That. Yeah, because we can do that because we're both Jewish. Punky and juicers.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, let's get started. This is If I Were You. This is an advice show, after all, the only advice pod on the web hosted by us. I'm Juicer.
And I'm Punky.
Hell yeah.
And we are... Punky, well, Juicer. Yeah,
we wouldn't be the
musicians.
We're just sort of like the,
I would like to do kind of an Ashley Simpson type thing where I lip sync our songs.
Interesting.
For sure.
I do. So you still want to be the music producer behind the scenes, and then every once in a while, somebody famous records actually, let me be on stage during it.
Yeah, I'd like the glory. I would like the glory. I also, I mean, frankly, I'd if it's possible, I'd like to sing and just be auto-tuned. I want to be involved. I just don't have the...
I can already tell you sort of trying to like grab more of the spotlight from whoever. Like we have to be the behind the scenes people. You can't like have those aspirations.
Because if I could play rhythm guitar and backup vocals, but if I can set my mic and guitar up in the center of the stage, that's all I need.
that's the most of it. To set you up.
Yeah.
There's no more than that. That's the maximum amount of
in the middle
spotlight you can have, right?
There's the you know, the bass, the lead, the drums, and the me right in the center.
This is a good time to let people know that they can watch this podcast because Jake's doing some sort of claw hand thing. Of course, you can listen to the show as you always do, but we're also uploading the video to our YouTube channel.
That is correct.
Actually, today we might be only uploading the video because for the first 10 minutes, Jake forgot to hit record on the Zoom. So if you noticed a shift in audio quality, that's what it was.
I didn't forget to hit record. I actually hit record, but I hit the Zoom and I don't think I hit the button or I double hit the button. But
if anything, you hit it twice, which is like even more...
Definitely.
Then hitting it once.
It could have been a Zoom issue. Yeah, but like I didn't forget to. I take issue with the fact that you said I forgot to hit record, which I did not. I
remembered twice.
I remembered it just didn't work out the way I thought it might.
Right.
I didn't get all the way there for one reason or another. It could have been human error. It could have been a technical issue. It could have been on the Zoom end.
Did we even say who did perform that song?
Probably not. We're stealing credit already.
His name is Dustin.
Nice. That's really cool.
Yeah. I don't know when parents decide to go the Dustin versus the Justin route, but this guy seems to be more of a Dustin than a Justin anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to choose between those two for your child?
Dustin and Justin? Dustin and Justin. I guess Dustin, because I think there already is a Justin Hurwitz.
Really? The guy that made La La Land?
Yeah, who came up recently before we were doing Justin Bieber and Justin Hurwitz and Chase Bieber. Chase Bieber and Justin Hurwitz.
He sent us an email. Yeah,
really?
Justin sent us an email that said, stop talking about me so much on
Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth.
That's what his wife emailed us to say. Keep Justin's name off your freaking show. It seems like you're trying to just suck fame off of the wind in his sails.
Which
and
makes
he doesn't
sense.
Want you to keep invoking his name in vain.
And it is true. But I think Dustin... you know, the nickname of Dusty is pretty fun. I like the Dusty. The Dusty.
But what I like Dustin more than Justin, but I'd be fearful that whenever he said Dustin, people would say Justin. And that would just like set him up to correct people.
Dustin? I guess it's a little close, but I do feel like, you know, you hit that D. I would just call him Dusty, though, and nobody would ever be like, Justy? No. That doesn't
happen. Yeah. Dusty is good, but it's also a bad thing to be.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's true. Or it's a good thing to be, depending if you like dust. I think some people, you know.
Nobody. There's universally low Q rating for dust. There's nobody who's
dirtbag climber with their gear in the back, just hoofing it through the mammoth lakes. Yeah. I think they like dust. They live
they
for
like
the
it.
Dust.
Yeah. They want it to be dusty.
In a way.
Yeah.
How about gold dust? All right. Yeah, sorry,
let's take a break. Thanks to sponsors and then actually answer some questions on the other side of these messages.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
On the other side of these hard.
Awesome. The other side of hard.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp, you just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to betterhelp.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we are back. All right. No unsolicited advice today because we got to get straight into these questions and answers.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why have unsolicited advice when we can do solicited advice?
Very good. Very good, Bluffin.
Actually, this guy might require some promotion. So let's use his real name, Brad Dunn.
Okay. Let's do it, Dunn.
Another kind of dusty style southerner, because he's an unemployed chef in Austin right now.
Oh, very nice.
He worked his way all the way up to sous chef at a well-known fine dining restaurant for the past 5 years and through COVID, but working 80 to 90 hours a week for very little money and disappearing on everyone in my life made me want to take a step back and reevaluate my relationship with work. During this hiatus, my dog partially tore her ACL and needed $3,100 knee surgery. I've been living frugally, to help with the help of odd jobs, my parents and partner. But since I've got the time, I started advertising private dinners to help raise money for the operation. People have been responding incredibly positively to it. I think most people would not ordinarily be able to justify the indulgence of hiring a private chef, but the combination of my legitimate experience and the charitable aspect of helping a dog has created the perfect storm of people splurging on the service and getting me to cater events in their home. The last event cost me about $200 in groceries, and I charged $800 for a dinner of six. Mm-hmm. The people loved it. They blew me up on Instagram, and I gave them good value. But after like four of these things, I'll have the surgery paid off. And I've had more offers than I need to cover the cost of the surgery at this point. So my question is, trying to make a living off of private chefing is not unappealing to me right now, and actually seems pretty lucrative and would allow me to set my own schedule and hours. But I suspect business would slow down quite a bit once the element of helping my dog is removed from the equation. Is there a way to smoothly rebrand and still get hired? Y'all seem like approximately the demographic that I would have to be catering to. Do you have any ideas about how to keep work going once it's no longer a charitably charged venture? And can y'all ever imagine hiring a private chef just for one special evening?
You know, this is Jill's mom, like, actually does this in, she's like retired now, but she loves cooking. She started doing like private dinners, just like cooking for people in their house in Palm Springs. And
wow,
she gets booked all the time. I'm trying to think like what the website is called, but it's like there's a website where it's basically like Airbnb for chefs. And
so so she signed up for it and has been cooking for people?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So like, you know, an Airbnb, you list your house or whatever on this private chef thing. You're like, I'm available to deliver it, or you know, cook you and your family or whatever a delicious home-cooked meal. And she's like done a bachelorette party, she's done like a group of friends all hanging out. And I think Austin is a great place to do it in, because there's so many people that go and visit and stay in an Airbnb or whatever, and you can absolutely, you know, give them the experience of cooking a delicious meal. I think the transition from being like, my friends are hiring me, because it's almost the equivalent of a GoFundMe, except you're actually providing a service. But yeah, you can't necessarily sustain that week to week. You have like all of your friends supporting you, which is nice. But you want to make the move into private chefing.
Yeah. Well, do you have to say when the dog surgery is paid for? Like, it was all for the dog, you know? Help me out, dog. And now the dog happens to be fine. And oops, I forgot to remove that part out of Help My Doggy Catering Company that you created to help doggies. What if you switch it up? It's like, okay, I'm going to donate 10% of my proceeds to animals that need it. Then it's like you're still helping animals, your dog surgery is paid for, but it's still like got that charitable slant, that edge.
Yeah. So what was the first thing you said? Lie about the dog's the second thing was nice. It was like, yeah, 10% of the proceeds go to help animals, but the first one you
even
mentioned
that, yeah, because they never follow up on where the cash goes. You can always
okay so they're both bad. Really. Yeah, I see.
In fact, like, even if you were to tear your dog's ACL again, that would be like a gold mine.
No, it wouldn't.
Nothing life-threatening, obviously.
It's debilitating. It's not life.
It's debilitating. But business is booming.
Not
Cosmo
necessarily.
Has to get that. Yeah,
not necessarily. If you tore the ACL again, then it's another $3,100 surgery, right? So it's not necessarily good for business to actually tear the ACL.
It's like, good for OPA.
That's just what does OPA want from naming
OPA
dogs?
OPA wants to lead a Gangnam style charitable venture, I guess. No. He wants to be at the head of this. Oh, and and when you make food for other people, you can come with little dog food too. It's like, oh, I also made food for your mutt or whatever. Like,
yeah, OPA wants to participate in animal cruelty, it sounds like, because OPA wanted to slice a dog's ACL and then
tear. Just sort of set it up to sort of, you know, give it a little
play fetch on some really like, yes, spray your grass with a bunch of water and then go play fetch on that, right?
And if I happen to make a hard cut, a little non-contact injury, then that's surgery cash that you need. And who's to say if the surgery costs $3,100 or $31,000?
Why don't you
frankly,
just
not gonna follow up.
Say that you tore your ACL and then you could be on crutches and then you don't That's even really have to good. Cook meals. You just say, can everyone help me pay for my surgery? You start a GoFundMe, you start a Kickstarter, whatever. They give you the cash for your surgery. You say it happened. You rest for a month and then you're kind of good back to normal, but you know, have the cash for a human surgery, which is a lot.
Yeah. The human ones are the ones that really cost you, especially ACL wise. I can only imagine.
Yeah.
I think this is a good venture besides the charitable part, because when you go out to a fancy dinner, it's going to cost you roughly this much. And then you have to deal with getting there and coming back, and maybe there's like alcohol involved that's always like marked up. Mm-hmm. So like people can save money, have a home cooked meal, which is like, you know, more COVID safe, and you'll do all the dishes too. Mm-hmm. So they don't have any risk on their part. It seems like a good idea. I mean, I wouldn't get a $800 dinner for six once a week, but like if it's a birthday party or some sort of special event, I can see doing that for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I would definitely find a way to market yourself as a private chef for small intimate events or people visiting the city.
Me? God, I mean, I never thought of it that way, but I'm wondering because I do.
No, you are going
to
go on trial.
Thing. Chicken. I do know how to do the salmon thing.
You tried to hurt dogs, man. You tried to hurt dogs. You don't know how to cook. You try to hurt dogs, dog.
What if they hire me and I'm like, okay, tonight's menu is like this, I got a ton of pasta and frozen chicken breasts from Costco. I'm going to microwave that to thaw them because I forgot to do that overnight.
Just dropping a Trader Joe's pizza. Fuck. I also might do some finger food. That's fucking a cup of trail mix.
I have this frozen bag of fried rice that I usually do from Whole Foods. Do you guys?
A six pack of Sapporo with two of them missing?
Do you have one of those, what's it fucking called, the pan? Do you have like a fucking pan? I need like this, yeah, the heating stove area thing.
Now walk it out.
Turning music on too loudly.
There's no microwave here. And I holding a Tupperware with potato in it. I was gonna do this with cheese.
I was gonna nuke this. I made this last week. Oh God, it actually smells kind of rank.
You can nuke the smell off.
Do you guys mind eating around the mold? I forgot to ask in my pre-interview thing. This is a good lonely and horny
Does
episode.
Anyone have a mold allergy?
I do private chefing for bachelorette parties.
That's so funny.
The stripper doesn't show up and I take it upon myself to emerge from the bathroom completely naked. They mace me instantly.
Oh my God. Chase you into the desert.
Chase me naked. All I have is a wooden spatula to my name and I'm ass nude in Joshua Tree.
God, that's good.
It writes itself, people.
Yeah.
And I should say, my dog was recently sick, so I would never poo-poo the idea of making another animal ill. I know what that means now, and I've had a real come to Jesus moment with regards to Luke's cough and upper respiratory infection.
And that's why you had the maturity to not make the joke about tearing your dog's ACL, right?
I joke as a means of copes.
Nice.
And I say that a joke to not cope. Lightly. Yes, I'll make a rib as a fib, as a goof, so that I can deal. And that's the only reason that I do that.
Indeed.
Anyway, simply put, you could probably keep it going. It's a good idea. And check out that website, that Airbnb for private chefery.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine the most annoying part is doing the dishes for everybody.
Yeah.
It's like...
But you know, if you're turning $600 profit, you could maybe pay someone like $150 to just show up in the last hour, or even $100. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like, they're
you get your own sous chef at these things,
right? You bring somebody else. Actually, we did this for like Marty's birthday weekend in Palm Springs. Instead of going out to dinner, there was a person like that that came by, and then they also brought somebody else to help, you know.
Wait, so they cooked?
Give out all the food.
Or you guys cooked? They cooked. So there you go. That's exactly what this is.
Yeah. But they said, you don't expect them to also clean. I mean, we have to go at least Dutch on this. Do you mind if I leave it soaking overnight? Because like a lot of the grease is sort of baked onto the pan.
Right. You should advertise that you also do the dishes, but then you say everything needs to soak.
We got to soak it. This That's the way of getting soak. out of way of getting out of doing dishes during the night. It's like, I mean, I can't clean this right now. This has to soak.
I charred the pan and it needs to soak.
That's a wine glass. Yeah, but the wine needs to soak overnight. You left it outside, dry and upside down. It's an air soak, and it's sort of, it helps. I have to leave now.
Mm-hmm, fair.
Let us know. A real follow-up pup. A follow-up pup about a pup.
That's right.
Let us know how the surgery goes. And maybe next time we're in Austin, we could do this. We'll go there for some shows. We'll have a fucking private dinner situation.
Yeah.
Who says no to that?
Not me.
All right, let's take another break. Thanks some spons. And answer some more questions on the other side of hard.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I hate it. I'm serious.
Please never do it
again.
I'm
not even joking.
I know.
It's the other side.
Of hard, right?
Yeah, of hard.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we've returned.
Hello.
Here's an awkward sitch that this guy got in with sisters.
Nice. Absolutely.
So we'll call him Taj Mowry, the brother of sister's sister.
Nice. Tia and Tamara.
Taj. Very good. Yes. Taj writes, so about a year and a half ago, I slid into a girl's DMs to see if she wanted to get coffee. She left me on red. Nothing came of it. No big deal. About 6 months after that, I matched with her sister on Tinder. We chatted for a bit in the midst of quarantine and nothing really happened either. Mm. I knew both girls from college and remained on relatively friendly terms with them both. Not super close, just consistent social media following and casual chatting. Now, I'm moving to the city and the woman I matched with on Tinder and I have been chatting about hanging out when I'm all moved in. She's built herself up as a brand, as an expert of the area, and she's the only person I know out there. So naturally, she was my first instinct to reach out to. I didn't think, though, however, that we have a pre-established attraction, and she's probably take exception to the notion that I was into her sister and asked her out. It's not like I decided, well, time to go for the sister. I was carelessly swiping through Tinder, and it happened that we connected. I'm not even sure she's aware that I was trying to take her sister out. What are the odds she knows already? And does it matter this much that much later? It's been 6 months. What would you do?
Hmm.
Thank you, Taj.
Okay. Wait, so he's... so the
6 months ago, slid into the sister's DM.
Uh-huh.
Then sister matched with left her on red.
Right. And then there was the...
then matched with the sister.
Matched with the other sister. And now he's talking to the Tinder sister or the DM sister?
The Tinder sister. The DM sister just never actually responded.
Still on red. Okay. Now, Taj, you're a smart guy.
Me? Yeah, totally.
What are you...
Oh, because he's the that's smart the name guy. Of the show, yeah. Smart guy.
Yeah, I really I wanted more from that. I really wanted more from that.
That was a really short-running show from like 1998 called The Smart Guy.
You're the one that called the guy Taj, so you knew You knew who Taj. What, do you think he was famous for just being their little brother?
Yeah, I thought he was like a character on the show or like from Full House or something like that.
I forgot he had his own show. You can't drop Taj Mowry as being the, like, you know, having sister without, you know what, forget it. Let's move on.
Well, this is how popular sister was, that they just gave us a 51 episodes show to their little brother, because that's how fucking famous they were.
Talk about nepotism. I mean, come on.
Why aren't we talking? I want to cancel his ass.
I think it's for that. The show was actually canceled.
Really?
Probably. Well, I mean, yeah.
Three seasons.
Right. That's a lot. Not bad.
So, Taj, you're a smart guy.
That's good. I think you can deduce, though, that Sister One is obviously not interested. So I think, therefore, it neutralizes the threat. At the very least, like, maybe the sister said that, but also you just said, let's get coffee. And then you matched with this other one on Tinder. You're a single guy and you're asking people out and you like these two women and they happen to be related. But I think you didn't necessarily do anything wrong. And there's nothing that you have to confess to right now. It will eventually come up. It will eventually come out.
You DM'd my sister. Yeah, because she's also hot. Yeah. That's how hot you are. That your sister, who kind of looks like you, is a fucking 9.
The real
that
issue
means you're still a 10.
There's some competition, and I think I do believe that your DM to the sister initially, that's gonna it shows your preference, and that's gonna come back and bite you. But there's not really anything you can do.
It must be even harder with twins, like. If you're a twin and you're dating someone, you know for a fact they think your identical twin is hot.
Unless it's Jeff and Dave.
They're so different that you can literally be attracted to one and repulsed by the other, because that's how varied their style is.
Yeah. This happened with the triplets when I was in like high school, and when they were in high school and stuff. Like, I'm pretty sure that one of the triplets' boyfriends and them broke up, and then he dated another one of the triplets.
Wow. But they're not even identical.
They're not. But you can still, I mean, it's not necessarily about just being identical. It's like wading into the family matters of these things. It doesn't seem healthy for anybody.
Yeah. So you're saying that one man smooched two of your three triplet sisters.
Yeah, but he's no longer with us. Because you don't kiss my sisters.
Why? It seems like a nice really? Moment for them. Yeah. They're teenagers.
Yeah. I was a bit protective as a brother.
They
wanted to keep under lock and key.
You're 25. You fucking freak. You suck. Yeah. What the hell is wrong with
I
you?
Thought he looked at my sister.
No. And even if he did, that's fine. All he right. can look at your sister.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I am sorry about that.
Yeah, you're more than sorry. You're under arrest. It's assault.
All right. What you did. And I do plead. I plead guilty. All right, then.
I plead guilty.
Guilty of loving my sisters. Guilty of being a protective big brother. All right.
Manslaughter.
Okay.
Murder, actually, it seems right. like.
Did he end up dying?
Yes. He was in a medically induced coma.
All right.
See. Okay, one last question.
Yes.
Hey, guys. I'm a 25-year-old man from Salt Lake City. We'll call him Donovan Mitchell. And I've run into a bit of a sticky situation. I'm in love with a childhood best friend of mine. We have known each other for close to 12 to 14 years now and do tons of stuff together. We go to the gym, movies, bars. We're even roommates. The problem is he isn't gay. I'm not going to try to make a move on him. Mm. So what should I try to do to cope with these feelings? Thanks, guys. P.S. I want to nominate Amir for the Golden Mic this episode. I'm sure that he deserves it and totally won't be tacky.
Considered denied. You joked about hurting a dog. I'll take the Golden Mic for joking about killing the guy that looked at my sisters. And we're moving right along. Moving on. Let's keep the show
You joked about
going
killing somebody. I joked pretty casually about a dog's knee injury.
Let's not get
easy.
Bogged down in the details. All righty.
You also forgot to record the first 10 minutes of the show.
I didn't forget. And that's the second time you said forgot to record. And I'll have you know, I remembered to record. I just didn't hit the button correctly. And there's a pretty
that's
big
worse.
Difference.
That's worse,
I don't
think
it's worse.
Yeah. You hit a button worse. Wrong?
Yeah.
It's hitting a button. That well, part's it's easier.
Thin. It's thin button.
It's a thin button. The hardest button to button.
What was the question?
I'm in love with my best friend. Mm. Should I tell him?
I mean, if he's not gay, I don't think it would necessarily... I mean, it depends. What do you want out of telling him? If you feel like there's something hanging over you and you need to like clear the air and you just want him to know, then sure. But if you are thinking that like, I want to tell him because he's going to be like, you know what, I actually love you too, then... You know, I guess I'm saying just whatever you do, don't do it with an expectation of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think that there is small enough chance of it being like exactly what you're hoping for that it might be worth not.
Because it might also make things so uncomfortable because you're roommates.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
But what if it's truly a best friend, it can't be that bad. It's not like you'd be like. Get out of my life forever for that.
Yeah, and maybe I mean there's a world where he already knows. I think a lot of the time when you like have a secret love for somebody and you're secretly desperately in love with them, they kind of know. So
yeah,
there's some instance where you could kind of just assume that you love him and he actually knows, and it's okay that it goes without saying. I'm trying like I remember like. One of my best friends, this going back to high school again, I was in love with one of my best friends in high school, and another friend of hers wrote her like a long letter basically confessing his love for her, and it made everything really weird. And that was when I resolved to never ever tell her anything about it.
And it still eats away at you to this day.
It all worked out. We hooked up 10 years later when she moved to New York. So
really?
Yeah.
That's nice.
It's probably different when somebody's sexual orientation doesn't match, but...
Yeah. I think this is what Chasing Amy is about, isn't it? It's like two friends of a gay girl, and they like either confess their love or don't or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you ever see that movie?
No, I didn't, and I have no idea what... I basically vaguely know the title, and that's it.
Yeah. So it's... It's a Kevin Smith movie. Ben Affleck, Jason Lee, and Joey Lauren Adams.
Joey Lauren Adams?
That's right.
I thought you were going to say Joey Lawrence, which would have made me really want to see the movie.
Whoa. A comic book writer stumbles upon the love of his life, only to discover that she is gay. There you have it.
There it is.
And we're going to watch this right now and then come back to you with some
tips
and tricks.
The end of this thing probably it ends with her realizing that she's straight and loves Ben Affleck.
I was gay until I saw Ben freaking Affleck.
It is. I mean, it's a spectrum. So you never know. You hear about people that are in heterosexual or heteronormative relationships that, you know, date people of the same sex all the time. So I'm not saying it's impossible.
That's right. Anything is possible. Just reading the plot right now, it appears as though she sticks to her new girlfriend and then at the end replies, oh, that was just some guy I knew.
Nice.
So
got you, comes back again. Somebody that I used to knew.
Somebody that I used to knew.
What would you do in this situation?
I would probably never say anything for fear of being rejected / scared of making things awkward, swallow my feelings until I find somebody else to crush on, of course.
Yeah.
I just don't know if that's the best idea, but that's what I would do.
Right. It's what I would do and have done as well. But I do think if it's eating away at you, pure heart rule, and you have no expectation, and you know the risks, i.e. that it could make him feel weird, especially because he lives with you, then go with God.
All right. Thanks for emailing us. Send all those questions and theme songs to ifireshow@gmail.com.
Right.
People
right.
are still, I guess, still in sticky situations, even in 2022. I thought everybody would sort of figure their shit out by now, but there's always like new interesting wrinkles in life it's that incredible. Are sort of disturbing and interesting. It's kind of a very human way, and to dissect them and discuss them have been... It's therapeutic, but also kind of interesting slash funny to like have a nice little peek behind the curtain as to like, I would never be able to know what's ailing a 25-year-old in Utah, not for this show. So thanks for writing.
Let's get a transcription of that so we can update the podcast description to that rambling, nonsensical sentence.
And you can watch this episode, as always, on our YouTube channel, If I Were You Show. And we're still making videos on our Patreon, patreon.com/JA.
Yeah, and we're making Jake and Amir videos. We made like two this past month, a March Madness video and a Wordle video. So that's over on youtube.com/Jake and Amir, I think, right?
Yeah, and I think jakeandamir.com forwards to there. So there check that out as well.
There you
go.
A
lot of content. A lot of content.
A lot of content for you.
And thank you for listening to this episode. Let's end with Dustin's On the Other Side of Hard, because it went on for a little bit while longer. So let's listen to this whole version.
Love it.
And Dustin, if you're listening, we're going to hit you with some pretty bold new ideas.
Yeah, I've got lyrics. They're coming.
From the musical duo Funky Juicer / Punky Juicer / Punky Brewster.
The Juicers, yeah.
We'll get to the bottom of that. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back next week. Bye.
My guitar is broken.
That was a HeadGum original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.